Thank you. Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and this is what we do on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And for this particular cycle of this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we are working on what we're discovering. In a sense, we're rediscovering the Invocation of Presence by E.J. Gold. It's a remarkable volume that somehow a number of people have missed, but it's so fundamental. It's like the backbone for me of practical work on self. It's the living proof of the human biological machine, and it's a fundamental necessity, in my opinion, for the American Book of the Dead as a practitioner, and it's something that you're going to really need. Well, you know, it's a short book, but there's so much to cover in it, and I kind of would like to just get started. Pat's not going to be with us tonight, but we're fortunate enough to have Ivan. Ivan has been in the heart of the publishing of Gateway's Books and Tapes and has brought forth a library of EJ's books, mm-hmm. And that's part of what we can do is we can read the material from these spectacular teachers and pass that on to others. And one of the things that I'm going to expound on a bit more at some point is the idea that the writer, in this case this author, E.J. Gold, has written something down. In a sense, it's finished when the reader engages. Mm-hmm. So our job is to engage, and when we do that, we've, in a sense, partially begun to complete the work of the author. So, welcome tonight to the Invocation of Presence. And Ivan, I'm glad that you're here because we're going to be able to cover some things that are quite important. And where we're going to start, actually, is on the introduction. Last week we read through the 14 items on why work on ourselves at all.
Right, and you read The Key to Life also, didn't you?
Well, we read through it. We didn't study it. But my point is on that, in the 14 points of why work on ourselves at all, that's going to be a mantra that we'll read over and over again. Mm-hmm. And as we get to the book, we're going to read it again. We're going to say, wow, am I making a little bit of progress here? Well, I think we are. So, Harry, are you up for reading?
Sure.
Judy, are you online?
I'm on the phone and I'm online, yes.
Good. Would you like to read as well?
Sure.
Okay, all we're going to do is we're going to read the four paragraphs in the introduction called A Key to Life. And I'm going to start us off. Harry, you'll go next.
Hold on, Judy. David. Let me find where you're speaking of.
Okay.
Here I am.
George, are you on the line? George, are you there?
This is the first page after the table of contents.
Yeah.
Okay. A key to life?
Key to life, that's right. One page, four paragraphs.
I got it.
Tell me, Judy, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm the third paragraph.
And then, Ivan, you'll end, okay?
Okay.
So I'll begin and ready, and let's begin. Introduction. Key to life. At the end of your life, if you do nothing to prepare for it, you will find yourself struggling for another day, another hour, another minute, just another breath.
This is what ordinary phenomenal life is all about. It is a fixation on survival into the future. But how can this be without voluntary participation in the present?
Even if you have accomplished the greatest thing in the world, if you penetrate with your vision 50 million years into the future, and then look back on your life and ask what you have accomplished, you will see what it really means to be alive.
What could you have accomplished 50 million years ago that would mean anything now? This is the question that reveals the only real mystery of life, and anyone who possesses an authentic answer to this question holds the key to life itself.
Wow. So here this accomplished author is bold enough to say, in one paragraph there, Ivan, bold enough to say, if you have this, you have the key to life, right?
Right.
So what is it that, what is it that he is saying that we should have? What could you have accomplished? And so it made me realize, I thought, well, gosh, what would he mean? What is it that, is there something that we could have accomplished? And I started going two ways with it. On the one hand, I started thinking, well, what's the answer to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking, what's the answer to that? But I thought that it might be interesting to approach this by saying, what is it that you think right now is an accomplishment? What is an accomplishment? What's a...
You mean in this scale that would have this value?
Sure. I mean, I went in and I put in the search engine. I said, who are the greatest people in history? And, of course, there's hundreds and hundreds of...
Okay. Wait a second, David.
What?
I mean, I wonder what anybody else thinks. When I read this number 50 million years ago, to me, that is immediately saying it has nothing to do with history. It has nothing to do with humans. It has nothing to do with, you know, it's a big swathe of evolution of the solar system or the universe or the planet Earth or something. It suggests to me that it's like, what is the answer to that going to be? I don't see how it could have anything to do with material life at all.
List was quite a list, though.
Which list? Well,
this list of the greatest people. It had Jesus was on there.
Oh, yeah.
Muhammad.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Aristotle. Shakespeare.
Well, you know, I sent you some, you know, emails on this, Dave, but I'm not going to go through all that. But I'm just going to say one thing which I read today, which I thought was applicable. And basically everything in the phenomenal world is simulation. Okay, reflection.
Is what?
Simulation.
Right.
Is simulation.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the Kabbalion says, okay, stillness is one. Simulation is two. Anode, cathode, heads, tails. Every expression of simulation is projected in pairs, and without exception is two. So stillness plus simulation is three. That's the neutralizing force. So the whole entire phenomenal world, in other words, when I answer this question, there is nothing that I can accomplish except on the vibrational level.
Well, let me ask you something, Judy, before you go on. And is this, like right now in your brain, what actually works? What do you actually think on a day-to-day basis? Well, I've accomplished something here.
Well, I do. Of course I do, and I realize that it's insanity.
Hang on. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, well, Sean put this in earlier, before we even got started. Authentic accomplishment. I haven't had an Oreo cookie in 50 million years.
There you go. There you go. Proof of
we could say it's authentic anyway, right?
And my take is similar to Ivan's. I think for what do we have evidence for 50 million years ago? And at best, if there's anything even human, it's something, either a bone or an artifact that's buried in the ground under layers of rock. So it's not in the form that it was in when the person was working on it, whatever it is.
Well, you know, in most important...
50 million years.
If you believe in the cycles of the universe and that the universe, you know, expands, manifests, and then it withdraws back, you know, Brahma breathes in and so forth and
right.
so on. This 50 million years, you know, what does remain in the cosmic soup? You know, is there some kind of an imprint in theosophy? It's called a monad. It's your soul imprint. And you, when the universe manifests again, so do the monads. So it has to do with the vibrational level of that particular monad.
But let's bring it home. Let's bring it to individual, like, you know, like here's Dan over here, here's Ivan, myself, there's a couple of other people here, the other people in the room. What, I mean, this is like, what can you accomplish? Can you accomplish something?
Well, David, didn't we start this group when we were monads? I mean, tadpoles back in those days?
I mean, tadpoles we were.
We were compassionate tadpoles before we were eaten by that rather large fish that showed up. But, I mean that's something. I mean, we started something that's ongoing, and an ongoing expansion of awareness.
For me, part of it is also we have in ourselves a matrix of what it means for me to accomplish something. And that particular matrix blinds me from some of the things that I think is being implied by this last paragraph and by
right.
what Judy is indicating to us, too, about something about vibration. So I'm kind of interested in my own self-observation. For instance, I had a thing the other day where I'm doing certain things in the community right now, in the broader community, and somebody asked me to run for city council of Grass Valley. And I felt so puffed up from that. Oh, wow.
That would be an accomplishment.
I thought, my God, that's an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Gosh, I can see it now.
Yeah.
Governor David. I mean, you could be governor.
And so...
President.
And so I could just feel like the ego just going, oh.
Sure.
And I was satisfied at that moment. That's the part that scared the bejeebers out of me at that time.
The first image that came to mind when you mentioned that was Mel Brooks and Harvey Korman in Blazing Saddles, so... That might be a little bit perspective.
Do you think he'd be that sort of city council?
It's a character, a caricature of the
yeah.
kind of attitude he was describing.
Well, we can only hope.
Okay, you got something else there, Dan?
Let's see. So Jenny Gott says, I haven't had an Oreo cookie in 3 weeks. Grocky says, on the everyday accomplishment level, for myself, it is getting anything done that moves in the direction I want to be going.
Okay.
And,
look at that.
Oh, and,
hang on. Let's look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again, Mark. I mean,
okay. On the everyday accomplishment level, for myself, it is getting anything done that moves in the direction I want to be going.
Want to be going. So there's something working in Mark that I want to be going. There's an impulse from somewhere that is saying that's the direction for me. And if I move in that direction today, that's an accomplishment.
Right. Well, sounds like a good description of my day.
Okay.
As, you know, you get something done. But I mean, I thought we were, maybe you're not going directly to, like, you know, if I decide to paint the house and I get the house painted, then I feel good. That's an accomplishment. But, you know, whether you're talking about 50 years or 500 years or 5,000 years or 50 million years, you know, it seems to me it's immediately saying, asking us, this text is asking us to take a different point of view or assess this on a different scale.
Well,
of value.
Where's that point of view? Go ahead,
yeah.
Dan.
Well, first of all, Rocky says we're still here, which is, you know, an accomplishment in itself. But from
yes.
what Rocky was talking about, I feel the same way that, but I think that it's from the point of view of if you're able to do anything that moves in the direction that you want, it usually means overcoming a resistance or an obstacle. And the accomplishment is that process of overcoming the resistance, especially if it's internal resistance.
Resistance to what?
Good question.
To resistance to acting on your own will.
From the deepest.
Yes.
From your deepest, right?
Yes, yes.
And so I think it's valuable to all of us to understand what is the matrix of so-called accomplishment that we have. In the beginning of his book, on the improvement of the understanding by Spinoza, he's in this turmoil. He says that nothing, all the pursuits of ordinary life fall short.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, he says to himself, is there anything that I can do that will ensure permanent and unending happiness? He has a very different idea of what happiness is, not just... And he debates this idea between fame and riches and sensual pleasure versus this unknown thing. And then he says,
yeah.
I've discovered that these things are temporal in themselves, and unless I find this higher good, I am doomed to the evil of temporal life.
There, you're getting to it. There, temporal. Is that the phrase, temporal in themselves?
Yeah.
Because
well,
look at what
life. Yeah.
In the second paragraph this text is saying, this is what ordinary phenomenal life is all about. It is a fixation on survival into the future, which is to say, I know I'm going to paint my house and I have to get it done by the end of this month. Or, you know, I'm going to file my forms. I'm going to get my tax forms filed and I have to complete this. I have a deadline. I'm going to meet these obligations in the future.
Yes. Go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. When I think about it and listen to people sharing, what comes to mind here is the difference between anything that we do from our personal will or that we do surrendering to divine will.
Surrendering to the divine will, she says.
So in other words, any goal that we have that is tied in the phenomenal world, whether it's writing a book or building a music center or whatever, you know, even charitable things. If they're coming out of personality and personal will, that's not it. So I don't know completely what it is to surrender to divine will. You know, I'm far away from that level of being. However, I get a sense,
yeah.
we look at the text here, David, even if
yeah.
you accomplish the greatest thing, what happens when you look back in 50 million years? So he's saying the greatest thing becomes nothing. The greatest thing becomes nothing. And if you understand that, you'll understand what it is to be alive. I mean, this is like a really heavy paragraph.
It's a very important paragraph, and it ties in a lot with the chapter 24 of Practical Work on Self, whereby there's a discussion of the last hour of life.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your viewpoint at that time? You know, like, I have so many concerns as the day unfolds, you know, all my little concerns about answering this or that or doing this and this. And sometimes I'm able to stop and I think, what? That's the context that catches me up in those things with so much importance. And how is it possible for me to begin the process of discovering what I think is implied in this paragraph and what Judy is pointing to as well, which is it possible for me to surrender to the divine within me and move from that position? Well, you know, we find it quite interesting that this is how E.J. Gold opens this particular book.
Well, the fact that you brought up...
Key to life, okay? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was looking through Practical Work on Self before, I mean, actually when I was out to dinner tonight, and I was thinking, okay, objective accomplishment, very interesting thing, and I thought I found a couple.
Okay.
At least that we could measure in this lifetime. One would be developing remorse of conscience, which he has a whole chapter on in Practical Work on Self. Remorse of conscience. That's a real thing, that opening of the heart where we feel true remorse. Also, understanding, a level of understanding that we realize that as a machine, we cannot do. And Gurdjieff talks a lot about this, where he says, I can do.
Yeah.
So unless we're operating from this real I, the true balanced self, everything is a congenital bungler, according to EJ.
So we want to go back to what Rocky said. He said, we're still here, right? We're still here.
I think that's a good answer, David.
Yeah, me too. It's, here we are. We all know that we're experienced operatives in this spiritual work. We're not beginners. But we're also not at the end of the game either. We're being pointed to things by these teachers who are there, and they can look. But we're able to see a little bit about it. And so with that vision, maybe it's part, what is our job then, Ivan? What are we supposed to do? We can read this, and we're moved by it. And Rocky says, well, we're still here. When I, prior to... moving out here to California many, many years ago, 30 years ago now. It'll be, I think, 30 years this year. I was quite uncertain as to, I'd met EJ and I was just swept away, and I was uncertain as to what to do, and I was living in Boulder, Denver at the time, and Lee Loswick had a group, and they'd have these midnight, what was it called, Cavern of Ruin. That's what he
Cavern
was calling.
Cavern of Ruin. Yeah.
And it was at midnight. So I go over there, and he was there that night. And I said, you know, I'm thinking about going out there. What do you think? And I said, you know, I'd met with EJ, and he just said, well, come on out and be our accountant. You know, do our financial work. I said, okay. And I said to Laz Lee, I said, Leah, I can do accounting here. And he goes, but if you do it there, you'll be doing accounting in his community. He was right. Very different.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Lee said to me at the time, the most important thing is just to hang in there. The Rock is right. So whatever it is, we're able to absorb a little bit of what's being offered to us. And what does that mean to absorb it? And I think that's what this book is about. This whole book is about that.
Yeah, and again, I haven't reread this whole book yet, but I can see just from this little introduction here, okay, that I think that this, he's warning you. I mean, he's giving you the... It's a signpost right at the beginning that he's looking to change your frame of reference in regard to this idea of accomplishment.
Yeah.
And the idea of survival, in fact, for both of which words are emphasized here. I'm looking at the second paragraph that says, you know, how can this be without... So what is he saying? How can what be? Fixation on survival into the future. 50 million years into the future, how about I want to survive? Boy, I want to be, yeah, I want to be more than this lifetime. I want to extend beyond. I want to transcend. I want to expand. I want to. How can this be without voluntary participation in the present?
There you go.
And I think that this is the opening salvo of a whole
volume that we're dealing
well,
with.
Well, yeah, it's a whole program to change your point of view on this.
Well, isn't that also the answer, that the main accomplishment is voluntary participation in the present?
It's a tentative. I don't think he's giving an answer here.
No.
Yeah.
I think he's posing a question. I wonder if anybody else was...
Well, it's at least a clue.
Well, I was...
That's
yeah,
right. He's
yeah,
pointing
yeah.
us. That's yeah. right, Dan. Very nice.
I think it's a premonition, a preview of what this book is about.
I concur.
Voluntary participation in the present. But there's, I wonder if anybody else had this reaction that I had, because I don't remember having this years ago when I read this. There's one little word in this text that really got my attention, and actually it's a very little word. It's the word an, A-N.
Yeah.
Did you notice this at the end here? It says, and anyone who possesses an authentic answer to this question holds the key to life itself. That got my attention right away. He doesn't say the answer or the one answer or
wow.
the be-all and end-all answer. He says an authentic answer. So I'd be interested in why anybody thinks that this is the formulation that he... Why would he say
Go
that?
Ahead, Dan.
Well, Rocky says, our greatest accomplishment 50 million years ago was to set out on the path which would lead us here. And then
yes.
Rocky has added to his.
I feel like that.
So, Rocky, I hung in there as a trill button, is that right?
That.
There's a song in that.
Okay.
So, Rocky says, and part of the reason... is that not yet achieving our goal doesn't mean lack of accomplishment as long as we are moving closer to it, so that just moving toward the goal constitutes accomplishing something.
What we're going to discover in the course of digesting this remarkable volume here is what some of those goals might be. And yeah, this is a scary book. This is a frightening book. It is, because we start to see, as Spinoza did, there's nothing in life for me. As much as I cling to it, there's nothing. I'm lost. Because in a sense, I can't see this hidden thing that's being mm-hmm. pointed to, yet I know I must abandon what the world is. I'm frightened. Be in that in-between. But it's okay to be frightened, because that's in the moment between accomplishment and where we are now. It's in the moment of chaos. And out of chaos, that's where the creativity of growth comes. Each individual has a different drop of this incredible essence that we've been blessed with, that we've come upon on this planet here. We've been, look at this guy. I've known him for 30 years now. This is a jewel that's been placed on the planet. And it's a rare thing. This is rarity. I wasn't talking about you.
Yeah, I know, because it could be just costume jewelry when you get right down to it.
Well,
Dave, my question to the group. I don't know if anybody feels
anything
about this, but when I look at this voluntary participation in the present,
nice.
Full participation in now, you're no longer in the phenomenal world. In other words, the only alchemy that can happen is in this moment, this moment, and in that moment, there is no past and no future.
There's no past and no future. We're going to address some remarkable things. I think as I read through this, and I have had a chance to look through the whole volume in the last few weeks, Ivan, and for the first time, I'm beginning to get a little bit of sense about, you know, relieving the absolute,
the obligation,
the pain, the suffering of the absolute.
Yeah.
How we, as little droplets in this great creation, can actually do that. If nothing else, I mean, I'm so moved by what Rocky. It is Rocky, right? Not Grocky. It said we're still here. And yeah, Rocky has said, I'm so moved by that, is just that for some reason we're the guys, we can hear this, we can see this, we're able to. Now, the problem with that, it starts to put an obligation on you. I don't care what your disciplines are and what you do, but you're in a sense holding the divine torch for just a moment. And you don't know who you're going to be interacting with tomorrow at 10 a.m. when you go through the day and this little boy or little girl or this mother or father is there and how you respond to them. If you're responding from the place of temporality, then you're just like everybody else. But if you can for that moment emanate one tone of this different chime. I'm thinking, what's the thing that the angels hold when they play that? You know,
a harp, a lyre, or a harp?
A lyre. Isn't that just the thing that you play like that?
Yeah. Sort of.
And it's like we're holding that for the moment. If we can stand in the divine for that moment, we're holding it and we're plucking the tone. And that's what our fellow people around us say. In one email I wrote to a friend who was discussing this over the week is maybe you, in a sense, will have accomplished nothing and you have no knowledge of what you will accomplish. But you said one thing to a child and that child wound up totally on the spiritual path, and then the tone of humanity has just gone up, click, one click, you know. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Jenny says yes. I was told that too long ago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I read that into it. Yes, I was told that too. Hang in there.
Hang in there. So let's talk about Jenny Gotts for a minute. Here's an individual that, I mean, I've known her for a long time. She's down in Southern California. And here's an individual that we talk a lot. She's been through a lot. She's self-effacing in a certain way. And she doesn't think, well, who am I and all this stuff. But for 15 years, she's been running a labyrinth, literally a labyrinth walking circle in the full moon that every month, virtually for 15 years, she makes it possible for people to come and do that walking meditation. What's that all about? Huh? And then now she's doing these Tuesday groups, and she thought, oh, God, who's going to come? I don't know, 20 people come. When I talk like this.
Yeah. Is that referring to David?
Yeah. Marvette keeps trying to train me better. Thank you, Marvette. Thank you, Dan, and whoever said that. So, there you go.
And we do have another comment from Sean. Nothing can be accomplished is what it seems to me. An accomplishment is a destination. The journey lasts forever. Destinations come and go.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
You know, Dick Hart is down. I think I met Dick Hart about 30 years ago also, mm-hmm. when I moved here. And he had an office in Grass Valley. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He had a little office where he had a little, he'd do his artwork on the, he'd turn around to his artwork, and then he was working on his computer.
Mm-hmm.
He was working on the computer game, the God game at that time. And he's been working on it all those years.
Right.
Modifying, changing, expanding, allowing that to be an input. And now what do we have from it? A tool that people use for the orbs, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever run an orb?
Right.
I think everybody that's online has run many a time. So, anyway, there you go.
Well, this question of accomplishment, he gives a figure 50 million years, which I think is just to put it into perspective, because the idea is that anything that we build materially is in the long run not going to last. And so the habit of putting an emphasis on that is, doesn't really serve this purpose. And what it reminds me of is, I think, is it in The Hidden Work, where he speaks about making it a real change in being rather than an illusory or temporary change in the HPM.
Right. And now we're at the heart of it, and that's what it is. We have a being, and in EJ's great work, The Human Biological Machine as a Transformational Apparatus, he distinguishes as you have an essential self, and you can do something with that. And that's what this book is about. We can make a little change, ever so slightly. We have the opportunity to do that, and we've helped relieve the suffering of the absolute, is the term I was trying to think of earlier. One inch, micro inch.
David, I'd like to add something to this.
Please, Gary. Yeah.
I think that second paragraph is exceptionally pregnant with a lot of ideas, but it is a fixation, this phenomenal life, a fixation on survival into the future, but how can this be without voluntary participation in the present? So it's not an either or. It's
right.
not whether or not there's this second, this source of secondness, secondary, limiting, negating force that we have to deal with. It's always going to be there because it's necessary for work to take place. So we're always, maybe we were tadpoles and now here we are running around on two legs, and who knows what it'll be in 50 more million years, but we're at least hungry for essence. And we develop that by overcoming these things that are constant and that we can never be completely free of them. We shouldn't even desire to be free of them. We can live and build things into the future, but that's fine as long as we have conscious moments and we move our resonance from the phenomenal world into our essential being. As long as our essential selves become our center of gravity, well, then all of this other things that we do, we can give them up and not be attached to them. And I think that's the meaning of this particular chapter, this introduction.
We're hungry for essence. How do you like that phrase?
Hungry. We are hungry for essence. And we still are. I think that's very good. It's satisfying to me. I enjoy the vibration when I come and join this group. I can't get this really anywhere else. I don't really know if I'm accomplishing anything, and I don't think really it's that important. As long as I'm building my essence, well, then having things to resist me are welcome, because that's
right.
That's how I create things. Otherwise, nothing would happen.
See, the pressure of the matrix. You know, I look now to the preface, Why Work on Ourselves at All, and point number one, which is the very next page, by the way. We have all had glimpses of something beyond the phenomenal organic reality. We remember those glimpses. And isn't that part of what we're talking about, Harry? Is
yes.
We remember those, and we're compelled to seek it out among our fellow voyagers. And we're so fortunate to have met each
Precisely.
Other.
Precisely.
We're still
and
here.
And as Rocky has instructed us, we're still here.
Yeah.
we came back
I
again.
I think that's the best answer, yeah.
We're still here. Yeah, but I also thought Harry was on the verge of saying something like that we're here. It's Wednesday. It's like David says at the beginning of these hours. It's Wednesday night. We're here, 7 o'clock. You know, we're here for this class.
Well, that's your time, not Texas time.
That's right.
We're going to be looking at invocation of presence, and that what we're actually doing is, you know, for at least, let's say, we're proposing, or it's our ambition, for this hour, to suspend accomplishment, to not be concerned about any accomplishment. We're giving all that up, and we get to leave
Sounds
it
good.
Behind. And we get to ignore it, or put it aside, or get away from it, or just not pay attention to it for this hour. In other words, we're not. This hour isn't about accomplishment.
You know, we had
right.
a few weeks ago. We finished the ABD guidebook, and then we had 1 week off, and it was the first Wednesday I've had off. I don't know how long, but it was so odd for me.
Right.
It was just so strange to not be here doing this. It was like this hole, an emptiness. Because that's part of what I do on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Pacific time. Because we got some guys on the East Coast and they're saying, it ain't 7 o'clock anymore, dude.
We've had people from India who get up at 3 in the morning.
That's right. The Indians get up for break of dawn in them, and, yeah. and sometimes the Spaniards come on in the middle of the night as well.
I heard a rumor that we have some people participating from 50 million years away from here.
Really?
That's great, Harry.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Maybe we'll do something that'll be memorable for them.
A little soft shoe, possibly. Oh my gosh. Well, go ahead, Dan.
Well, Grocki says, in this context, Emerson's famous poem, Success, seems relevant.
Ah, good for you.
The one that ends with the line, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived, this is to have succeeded. Though the rest of the poem seems quite relevant as well.
Have to look that up.
That's well, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
the whole idea of giving, of contributing to the lives of others is a very profound thing. And maybe that's an authentic accomplishment. I mean,
speak a little louder.
Could you say that again, Judy?
I'm saying that this concept of giving, of making life easier for others, or giving to others, or making others more comfortable, more happy, contributing to the lives of others is a very profound idea. And I do think that if you do make one life breathe easier, it's an objective accomplishment.
I agree.
Okay.
One moment of compassion is all moments of compassion.
I also want to put out the idea that part of our obligation for me is that to also create a place of infinity within ourselves. and eternality. Mm-hmm. That part of the obligation is for me to do that because I might be able to do it. And if I'm able to do it, then not only am I then an exampleship for others around me, but there's a form of emanation that starts to occur. And in that emanation, you become a reminding factor for others. People go, oh, wow, that's interesting. People don't say things quite like that.
Mm-hmm. Dave, when would that be like an incredible place of stillness?
Say it again.
Would that be like an incredible place of stillness?
Of stillness?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, you are in stillness. We're going to discover some incredible things in this invocation of presence, mm-hmm. and how to discover how that becomes an everyday part of us that we carry around with us every single moment of the day. Okay? What do you got over there, Dan? You okay? Okay.
Yeah, you know, it occurred to me that when Judy brought up that idea of the simulation,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the mechanical life, or, you know, the this life that we pursue of trying to have accomplishments and survive into the future and so on, that it's, you know, I think that another view of that, similar to calling it simulation or mechanical life, is the author of Ecclesiastes saying it's vanity, like vanity of vanities.
Right.
All is vanity. And it's just like saying, again, another formulation is saying that this is not of value, this is not what's of value, that
well,
we need to be looking
true. For. Yeah, but it's more than that. I mean, it's not just vanity. I mean, anything in the phenomenal world is a projection. It doesn't have to be coming out of vanity. It could be any kind
right.
of anything that we create as human beings is a projection. I mean, maybe even the whole planet is a projection. I mean, I don't
mm-hmm.
know. But when you start
the universe, yeah,
the whole universe is a projection of the divine. And that's it.
And here we are.
You know, so this place that Dave is talking about, this place in ourselves is developing a place of infinity, of eternity, is such
sure.
a beautiful, beautiful thought. I mean, thank you for that, Dave. I mean, it's a wonderful goal. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot, too. And for the first time in my life, I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible for us to do it, and I find it more probable when we're doing it together.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well said. Yes, sir.
And as you said before, going to the next page, we have all had glimpses of something beyond phenomenal organic reality, you know, which is to say that we're a a fraternity. Group of people or beings brought together by having had these glimpses of non-phenomenal life,
you know,
of some other life.
I've often wondered why, you know, like, I get kind of granular on it, maybe because of my accounting background or whatever, but, like, why, in a sense, are this particular group of people here, this particular, and, like, here you are, you're here. You're not going to be here next week. Here.
No,
you have
I'll
other...
probably be switching with Pat again.
Pat will be back here. But it's this particular formation and formulation that's here. And, you know, in the old days when EJ was working with us in a certain way, that's who the formulation of that angelic being was at that time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Wild, huh?
Yeah, you know, when you look at how groups come together and who's in a group, it's awesome, really, you know, to think of this. I mean, You know, when I saw the book, I didn't stay in the last group for a number of reasons, but when I got this on the Invocation of Presence and I looked at that cover, I just, went berserk inside. I mean, it was like my pull was so incredibly strong to be here. So whatever that's about, you know, I'm happy to be with all of you.
Well, we're working on getting you a copy, okay?
I have a copy.
No, of the image.
Oh, the image, yes.
Okay. It's, we have some very talented individuals that are helping us achieve that goal, okay? Yeah.
You know, it was interesting, just to share, it's a little off topic, but I thought it was interesting. I fell in love with that image, and it spoke to me in a variety of ways that it's not important for me to go into. But I loved it so much, I shared it with a very good friend of mine.
Good.
Here I was, in love with it, and she thought it was really scary. I said, wow.
That's not unusual, I would say.
Yeah.
One person's glimpse of a non-phenomenal life is another person's nightmare.
Yeah, I guess.
We, EJ started doing the art a little after I got here, and I became quite involved with showing the art to a lot of people, and actually Linda and I did a lot of that work. And it was remarkable. Pieces that I just thought were lovely, would people would react because they were portals.
Mm-hmm.
And some people want to go through a portal, and some people don't even want to be reminded of such a thing. So this is such a portal. Not only the image, but this book itself. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's
Grocky.
Because it wasn't just I don't like it or I don't like the art. It was the actual thing was fear that came up for her. I thought
fear.
That really showed the power of that drawing.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
Grocky says, what David now is saying about creating the eternality in ourselves is reminiscent of EJ so often referring to our need to grow a soul.
To grow what?
A soul.
Grow a soul. And we are able to do that. And this is the pragmatic work of that. There is the theory, we read that and we get inspired, oh, how nice, what a nice idea. No, we are going to be doing that. We're going to get our picks and shovels out. And that reminds me of something, Ivan. We are tool makers. Humans are tool makers, right? Remember the Neanderthals, and they got rocks and they pounded it and made something, and then the Cro-Magnon people made hatchets and tools, and they got better and better and better. We're tool makers, and the tools that we're trying to develop in this book is a tool that we are going to carry around in our back pocket for use anytime we need it. Okay? Now, we're going to be approaching, I'd ask the question also, is there a prayer or a saying or that is invocative for you virtually at any time that you work with it? That's going to come up again over and over again in about two or three classes. We're going to see the need to address that issue again and why it's important to have that as a tool. Think of it as a key that you need to carry a key around to get into the door, right? I have a key when I come to my home, get the key, I unlock the door, and then I can go in. What is that key in everyday life that I can develop for myself? And there are some, and we can find those, and we can help each other find them. And this is a class where we talk about it, on each of us declare, in a sense, you declare, here's my key. Here's what my key looks like. Sometimes we lose our keys.
I did think of one phrase that does work well, for me anyway, is I remember myself as the Voyager.
Yes.
Oh. That's put that up on the Facebook page too when you get a chance, okay? You know, I remember myself as a Voyager is a very good one. And just very briefly, a number of others that have come up. And do you remember your answer, Judy?
Yeah, I had a couple. One was a mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, which is a mantra my guru gave me. And the other is the Gurdjieff exercise, I am. I on the in-breath and am on the out-breath and seeing where it sits in the body. That
and
really
then there was,
hit me right away.
And there was a third one.
Oh, the Jesus Prayer.
Yeah, the Jesus Prayer.
Prayer of the Heart.
Prayer of the Heart that came out of the Eastern Orthodox tradition and is a profound practice. Is that correct, Harry?
Yes, it came out of the Hesychast tradition. It's
That's
a beautiful
right.
prayer. It's simple.
It's so
there's
simple.
No pride, there's no pride in learning it because it's so simple, and it's clear, so you can't forget it.
I worked with it for about 2 years after I dropped out of college. I had my knapsack, and I was walking around with this prayer for a couple of years. I had my own little beads that I had made. And
Life of a Pilgrim.
And let's just say it stuck. And that's what we want to talk about later on, all right? Building a furrow with your key so that it sticks.
You know, David, our group finished working this book, this volume, about 4 months, 5 months ago.
Okay.
And so part of it was we reached a point where we were discussing the fact that we really can't do anything and how difficult it is if we're honest that if we decide to undertake something that we'll forget to do it or we'll, something else will come up and we'll just, it will skip our minds or we'll resist it and it won't happen. So, you know, I issued the challenge to everybody to pick something they think they could do, just anything. So I realized, I said, it's probably good to keep your expectations low and aim low so you have greater success. So I chose for myself, since I have to follow my own advice, I decided to pick the clear light prayer, and I would say it every day, one time, come hell or high water. I would do that every day. I probably would do it anyway, so I felt there would be no harm here, wouldn't be difficult. Actually, I had trouble saying it only once.
Well, you know, Gurdjieff says that if you can do a small, start with small things and learn
yes.
to do a small thing well. And, you know, that has had a big effect on me for the small
yes.
things that I procrastinate about. So what I've been working on is doing small things well. And it's amazing what is happening
yes.
because of that.
Nice.
You know, a different ease in moving through the day, yeah.
Yes. Everyone in our group had a similar experience, and it was an eye-opener that if you pick something very small and make sure you kind of cherish it, it'll open up, and it got to be where I would be about my daily life, and something almost impossible would happen, and that prayer would just say itself in the juxtaposition of that prayer and the state that it induced in me would be something that changed my external state and my way of operating. And no one seemed to be the worse for it.
Help each other by sharing these things. If you happen to be online and on Facebook, put your comments there, because then it reminds other people, and they go, oh, well, I do this, or I do that, and it helps people recall the tools that they get to work with.
Right.
I mean, the Eastern Orthodox has enormous tradition of the icons and the iconic imagery,
mm-hmm.
and I got into that a lot when Linda and I were working with the art. It's like, what is a modern-day icon? I'm looking at one right now, so... So anyway, so for this coming week, go ahead and read the preface again to yourself, the 14 items. That's always a good practice. And go ahead and read through the prologue. We're not even to the book yet, Ivan.
Yeah, right.
This thing has got an introduction. It's got a preface. It's got a prologue.
And then, by the way, comes page one.
And then, only then do we get to page one. So then, now, if anybody does not have the book and they have trouble with getting the book, let me know. Okay, just email me directly, and then we'll discuss what to do at that point. But and then, so go ahead and read the preface, right?
Prologue.
No.
Preface.
Hang on.
Here I am. This is prologue.
Prologue. The prologue.
Here I am.
The prologue. Read through that. We won't spend a massive amount of time on that, but we are going to, it's kind of an introductory, once again, to the whole book. But it's really do try to read through it, and it'll prepare us for the following week for chapter one and page number one. Mm-hmm. And Dan, how are we doing over there?
Looks like that's the end of the comment. Doug Bryan has said, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, which is the Jesus prayer, right?
That's the prayer of the heart, that's right.
Okay.
A sinner.
Mark 34.
A sinner. That's the sinner part.
Oh.
Let's forget that part.
Okay. Lara 34 says, 5 minutes of guitar a day.
Yeah.
And Judy Holt and Hathamus say, thank you all for being here.
Thank you, everybody,
thank
for coming tonight.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
And thank you for being here.
And we'll look forward to seeing you next week at 7 o'clock.
And
good
the
night.
Prologue is, here I am.
Here I am.
And thank you for your voluntary participation in the present.
Oh, he's
good. Okay. Good night, everyone.